This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
This is AmTower Off-Center, sponsored by General Dynamics Information Technology. Every week, author, speaker, consultant Mark AmTower gives you his take on what's going on in the world of government contracting. AmTower Off-Center with your host, Mark AmTower.
Welcome to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Mark AmTower. My guests today are Michael Fischetti, the Executive Director of the National Contract Management Association, and Lisa DeSuti, CEO of Market Connections. Both, welcome. Thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Mark. Great to be here this morning.
Michael, give us a little background on you and NCMA, please.
I'm the executive director of the National Contract Management Association. We're a professional association of 21,000 government and industry, academic acquisition, and contract managers from around the world. We have 115 chapters around the country. We represent, like I said, government and industry. We put on education events, training events. We have a contract management body of knowledge and the full range of development of professionalizing the contract management workforce. That's what we're all about.
What's your background?
I'm been on staff for about 18 months. I'm prior senior executive from the Department of Defense. I was the component acquisition executive and head of contracting activity for health affairs and DOD. Prior to that, Department of Energy. Prior to that, Navy, Air Force, various agencies and companies along my 30-some career as a contracts manager.
Long certified. Federal career, yeah.
Yeah, you've done this for a while.
I've been around a while, yes.
There you go. As have we both. Lisa, tell us a little bit about Market Connections, please.
As have we three, I think. Lisa DeSuti, president of Market Connections, and we're a full-service custom market research firm serving both federal agencies as well as the government contracting community. And we do all types of research projects similar to the one that we're going to be sharing with your listeners today.
Okay. And that would be?
That would be the LPTA impact study. And, you know, LPTA, lowest price technically acceptable procurements have been kicking around for a couple of years, and it was becoming a bigger and bigger issue for many of our clients. So late this summer, we decided we would do a study around it to try and understand, drill down on what some of the impacts were. So we surveyed both the government contracting community as well as federal government decision makers.
Okay. Before we go any further, where can people download the white paper or the executive summary?
www.marketconnectionsinc.com.
Okay, so let's hit a couple of the highlights. You had the briefing several weeks back.
Yeah.
And you, Michael, had your conference this past week.
Yes, so we did. We just wrapped up on Tuesday.
Congratulations on actually having people show up.
Many people, unbelievably so. Yes, yeah. In this environment, we had a great turnout.
It's this is a tough environment to get people out in. Lisa, give us sort of a broad brush overview before I throw out a couple of more pointed questions.
Well, a couple of things that I thought was interesting. We asked at the very early in the survey that about levels of familiarity, and 77% of contractors said they were very familiar and understand the details of LPTA, and only 32% of the federal community said that they were very familiar or understood the details. When we did a little bit of a drill down on that 32% of federal, we saw a big difference between civilian and defense agencies. So defense agencies had jumped up to nearly the same level as contractors, 70% saying we're very familiar. And I think that, and Michael may be able to comment on this or add to it, I think that speaks to perhaps defense agencies using it as a tool longer or more frequently than some of the folks on the civilian side. So that we found interesting. We asked government contractors, are you responding? Why are you responding to LPTA RFPs? And most of them said it's because that pie is getting smaller. There are fewer RFPs out there, fewer available contracting dollars, and we have to be in it. We have to live to fight another day. We have to be bidding on these things.
Well, you know, they may, the familiarity is certainly growing as the industry has been very concerned about the use of LPTA. But let's keep in mind LPTA is a source selection strategy that's perfectly allowable, and the Federal Acquisition Regulation has been around forever. A lot of concern now about whether the Defense Department or federal agencies are moving towards that direction and pushing all of their source selection strategies that way. I think the jury is still a little bit out on that, as well as whether that's a trend, and if it is, what the success or failure is of programs that are using that strategy.
Michael, let me throw out something here. You've been in the market at least as long as me, and Lisa, you'll remember this as well. Weren't the desktop contracts awarded by I think it was the Navy or Air Force back in the early 90s, 1, 2, 3, and 4. They had that low cost element.
Yes, it's a common element. I think if you set a proper quality baseline of what a standard is, what you're going to accept is the type of technical expertise you're looking for, the pricing then will take care of itself, and it is certainly a good discriminator.
Yeah, and Lisa, you were working at GTSI, and I believe you won a couple of those.
We did. Many moons ago, but yes.
Yeah.
And I think both the government contracting community and federal employees as well agree that it can be a good tool for something that is very well defined, a commodity type of procurement, which those desktop contracts were evolving to that. I think some of the concern that we saw in the survey from the government contracting side is that perhaps it's being used at times for more complex procurements, professional services type of buys, and that primary drawback that both the federal respondents and contractors noted is that these things are being awarded perhaps to less qualified companies, and it's sacrificing long-term value for short-term cost savings. And Michael said at our event a few weeks ago, and I agree, look, prices have risen. There needed to be a tool in place that government had at its disposal, and it is achieving the goal to save money. It is bringing costs down, and Michael alluded to this. I think only time will tell if some of these concerns that contractors and government alike are expressing about sacrificing, long-term performance for short-term gains, only time will tell if that is going to bear out.
Yeah, this was a topic of conversation at the NCMA Symposium this week, and we heard from senior executives in the government as well as industry on this subject. Certainly with industry, there's grave concern about that, and as it squeezes the profit margins and their ability to grow and maintain the revenue and the success of the programs that they offer, and they're concerned about their ability to be able to differentiate among themselves and to the extent that relationships and historical performance is significant. From the government's perspective, I believe, again, like we said, the jury is still out. I don't believe you'll find any kind of document, policy letter, or edict from any high-level government official saying we are going LPTA. I believe the government officials want their contracting officers to think and look at each requirement on its own and stand alone. There should not be this mass movement into any particular strategy. It should be based on the requirement at hand. What are we buying? How do we want to reward performance? And how do we want to pay for it? And that's how you determine how you're going to execute the program. And that's what our symposium was about. And that's what a lot of people are saying. Let's teach our contracting managers to think and work and use all the tools in the toolbox.
Absolutely.
Mm. There you
One tool in the tool bag, one of many. And our survey bore that out in terms of it's not, folks don't feel it's being mandated. Yes, it's being used, but it's not being, a peanut buttered solution across all procurements. At least the federal respondents felt that way. Interestingly, though, on the contractor side, there were folks that felt and expressed in the survey that even if it doesn't say LPTA in the RFP, it is being awarded and evaluated as such. So I think just some strong feelings on both sides about how it's being used and how it will be used going forward.
I think exactly right. There's a lot of concern in the industry. Obviously, uncertainty is the number one issue right now. Nobody knows what's happening. We've all watched the antics on the Hill and that, and where do we, where do we go from here? That sort of thing. So obviously, the growth in the government contracting community has been quite well in the last 10 or years with the wars and outsourcing of government functions, which will, by the way, I believe, continue regardless of party or preference. The additional role of government contractors in supporting the government's mission will will continue unabated, really. But right now, the uncertainty and not knowing 1 month to the next or one quarter to the next what's happening is probably the biggest issue. And government agencies are constrained. How are we going to save money? We have to restrict the prior to this double-digit increases. And now the budgets are running dry. And so they are certainly looking for strategies. Whether LPTA is the hidden mandate or not, yet to be determined, I believe.
Well, and that is so true. I mean, they're being squeezed from all sides, and this is a tool that they're turning to, and that was reflected in the survey results as reasons for why that they are using it now, why their agencies are likely to continue using it. And if we, you know, look at the top reasons for future use of increased use of LPTA, it's around fiscal restraints and budget cuts. And to your point, Michael, the antics on the Hill, we don't see any end in sight to any of that. So it is, in many cases, a way to deal with the budget constraints that they're facing.
Okay, I'm going to pick up on that after the break, especially the antics on the Hill, because that I have a new book out on that. You're listening to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, back after these messages. Welcome back to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. My guests today are Michael Fischetti, who is the executive director of NCMA. You can find Michael at ncmahq.org. Lisa DeZutti is our other guest. Lisa's the CEO of Market Connections, and you can find her at marketconnectionsinc.com. You can also download the white paper and order the study, the full study, on LPTA at that site. Couple of things here. The budget issue, I mean, the major media, when the sequestration came into effect, was expecting a tsunami. It's not the way it works. It's a very, very incremental ripple effect type process that's going to impact government and government contracting for years to come. So anybody who is expecting a big splash is, you know, just wrong. The other, you know, the budget constraints were there regardless of sequestration. We have less money. We're in huge debt. We have to save money. We have to procure better. That being said, Lisa, the two biggest parts of this, and Michael too, the two biggest areas impacted in this are construction and IT procurements. And, you know, a buddy of mine 2 years ago sent me a picture from when we were kids, and it was this fort that we built. Five of us sitting in front of this three-story fort. And the only reason that fort stood up is because we nailed it to a tree, because you could see the list. I mean, the oldest of us was nine when we built it. You know, this is LPTA construction. That's what I thought of immediately when I saw this. So
I have a similar vision of, you know, bridge fall down. You know, you don't want a bridge to fall down. So,
but Michael, how do they deal?
Yeah, when I built our fort, we had a basement, so we dug a hole in the ground. The next day, it was filled with water, and it never dissipated. And I think the problem with the sequestration, it's like you said, it's not the big splash, but it's a slow implosion. And I think we're sinking fast and slowly, imperceptibly, maybe. And our contracting folks that are out there trying to make things work in an environment where you don't know what your funding profile is for the rest of the year, let alone more than on a three-month basis, is just not a way to run any kind of executable program. And so I think that the uncertainty, again, is really a killer. You know, these are complex missions that the federal government has, and they need to know what they have to work with, and so that they can execute the mission and at least prioritize the most important versus the least important needs. And with contracts, as the complex contracts, which the federal government is completely dependent on nowadays, it's become to that point where, like I said, and not good or bad, but federal government contractors are the ones that execute any major mission of the federal government. And so you need that certainty and that clarity of what the requirement is that we're going off to execute in order to ensure proper oversight, supervision, and management along the way. And so you have to know what you have to work with more than on a 3 to 6 month basis.
Yeah.
And from our perspective, we ourselves are experiencing it, and our clients are as well, as, you know, things continue to get pushed out to the right, task orders are suspended, some of them are canceled. Then when they're, you know, once sequestration is lifted, task orders are reengaged. But people are, our program managers on the government side are buried. I mean, they're digging out. They're trying to catch up. So it really, as Michael said, it wreaks havoc on trying to execute on programs.
I think the future, you know, so to the extent we can address that, I think we still have a professional quality staff willing to do the right thing that knows what to do when given the time and ability to perform. And I think, you know, we need to take off the shackles that keep them from executing their mission well.
Okay. Lisa, what are the other big points of this study?
Well, I think if you look at the top challenges for contractors, as they listed them in the study, is that decisions are based on price regardless of the ability to perform. Mm. They feel compelled to offer the lowest price solution that may not be in the best interest of the government, and as we've talked about, unable to differentiate from the competition. And so they do feel strongly that it's stifling innovation, and when an RFP like that comes out, they are answering to the letter of the RFP. They're simply answering the mail. And for a lot of companies, and I think we're beginning to see an adjustment on the contractor side, but for a lot of companies, it has been a difficult adjustment because they are used to and have senior staff, lots of experience. That's who they put on some of these procurements and these programs, and they're no longer able to do that. So if you look at how they are responding to this, many of them are making a lot of staffing adjustments. They are trying to reduce indirect rates, relying more greatly on junior staff, reducing staff, cutting salaries, salary freezes. So I think that contractors are adjusting as they have to. We did have some contractors in the study say, well, we're simply not responding to LPTA RFPs. We can't add value. We're not going to respond. I don't think that's a good strategy to spread across all procurements. I think that this is not something that's going to go away for all the reasons that we've just talked about in the short term. So contractors are going to have to adjust their business models and deal with this world that we're living in.
I would also add to that the issue of communication. It was like I said earlier, we had a great turnout at our NCMA symposium this week, but it was a little scary at times. And the ability of government people to get out there and work with industry and communicate intellectually, collaboratively, know they're not going to be discussing the specifics of any individual ongoing source selection, but to understand where each other's side is coming from, I think that extremely well, to the extent that the government then has that information when they're developing the requirements before they issue their request for proposals, and that provides that insight for the industry then to be able to properly respond, and so that there is that meeting of the minds before we go off and embark on some issue on a program.
I couldn't agree more, and we've said for years, and Mark, you know this, that you need, you know, to be successful in this market, you have to be in early. You can't just be responding to an RFP when it comes out. You have to be in early talking to the customer, and I think that's still very important. George Oberdebessing from Harris mentioned it at our live event a few weeks ago. You know, get in there and help your customer understand what technically acceptable really means. You know, what should their expectations be? And so when that RFP comes out, everyone is on the same page. But I think expectation setting, as you said, Michael, is very important so that both sides understand what is going to be delivered under that type of LPTA procurement.
Well, I have two questions then. Michael, what was the ratio of government employees to contractors at your conference?
I'd say about 2/3, 1/3, something
okay.
like that.
So 2/3 govies, 1/3 industry?
Probably 1/3 govies, 2/3 industry.
Okay. But finally, you know, this is one of the first forums that I've heard of recently where contracting types from both sides are getting together and discussing. Yeah. One of the issues facing the market right now is the radically reduced ability of feds to get out to events of any type. The justification process is just ridiculous. So where should this communication take place? Because the contracting officers and the technical people in government don't have time for 50 meetings a week.
Well, for this particular event, we actually had the Director of Office of Personnel Management provide an approval for that it met all government requirements and regulations. Every item, every plenary breakout session, discussion, every training option in this event particularly was tied to Federal Acquisition Institute, Defense Acquisition University, and Contract Management Body of Knowledge competency. So it was all official training.
So you got a bunch of CEUs for going.
Right. Cool. I did not drink champagne in any particular venue.
No $16 muffin.
No, sir.
but you know, this town used to be driven by events from 6:30 in the morning till 10 at night. All manner of events, briefings, you know, luncheon discussion, you know, across the board. They're still there, but the participation is radically down.
Yes, and I don't know. It comes back down to, first of all, it started, as we know, with scandals and things like that. I believe we've kind of moved past that, and if like organizations like ours at NCMA, if we've argued the case and we've developed the program that pushes us past that issue. The issue now is money. So it's unfortunate that, you know, you think you're going to save money on your program by cutting the ability of your people to learn and to get out there and understand and communicate with the people that they're executing business relationships with. And I think that's the key issue, is to let them loose and provide that dollar of training goes a long way. And I think that investment is extremely important, and that's very short-sighted for any agency or company that isn't allowing its people to invest, that isn't investing in its people.
Right.
Well, I think wherever possible, when industry can provide free training, low cost training, that will help with that as well.
Okay.
And have it be local, so that travel costs can be lessened.
Right. I think that's one of the reasons we're seeing a serious uptick in the
webinars.
Approach.
Yeah, we saw that in our event study that we did earlier this year, so I think you will see that trend continue at least for a little while. But I have always been a big fan of face-to-face, so if we can get the meeting of the minds to at least meet locally face-to-face, I think that's how some of these tougher issues are better handled.
It would be nice. You're listening to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, back after these messages. Welcome back to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Mark AmTower. My guests today are Michael Fischetti, who is the Executive Director of the National Contract Management Association. Again, you can find Michael at ncmahq.org, and Lisa DeZutti, CEO of Market Connections. You can find her and the study at marketconnectionsinc.com. Lisa, wrap up the LPTA portion of us here, please.
I will. I'll tackle the contractor side, and maybe Michael can throw in some comments on implications for the federal side. But I think for the government contracting community, they really need to accept that lowest price LPTA is here to stay. It is the new reality, the new world that we're operating in. I heard an Air Force general speak at the PSC conference a couple of months ago, and he said to everyone in the room, if you're a premium provider with a premium solution at a premium price, the Air Force is not going to buy from you. So I think contractors have to embrace where we are and begin to develop new business models, realign their focus, maybe divest some of their underperforming areas, and really put a focus on agencies where they have strong relationships and where they're doing well. At the same time, we have a lot of clients, and we're recommending that clients look at what I call adjacent swim lanes. So many are looking at state and local markets. We know that big data is still very big, and states need a lot of support around big data, so that's a growing area. Many are looking at energy, oil, and gas. They are also going internationally and looking at rapid growth countries that have similar social infrastructure to the United States. They're having a lot of success in those areas. And I think just to continue to invest in market research, know your customer, know the landscape before you go into a procurement, especially if it's a recompete, you're really going to have to sharpen your pencil. A lot of firms are looking at just completely setting aside the current capture team and bringing in a brand new capture team that can be objective and really look at a contract and say, okay, do we really need 50 or 100 FTEs on this? Can we do it a different way? And so I think those are some successful strategies, briefly, that contractors can begin to employ.
And I'll add on to that that, you know, low price technically acceptable is a best value source selection strategy that has a time and place in many, many types of requirements and circumstances, and it should be used accordingly. But there are also many other ways of strategizing your acquisition and to ensure that you're going to meet the mission that you're trying to achieve and to a solution that both government and industry can be satisfied with. So I think that's important to just look at all the tools in the toolbox. And as a senior executive told me recently, contract officers, contract managers from the government industry need to think out and process their requirements to the best way they can for the given circumstances. And I would add on to that, to help them to do that is to invest in those people, to allow them to continue to grow and learn and develop professionally so that we have the best staff that we can to manage these things, which the federal government is totally dependent on for the execution of mission for the taxpayers.
Okay, I have a question here regarding a fear that shows up on both sides of the fence, and that is the likelihood of an unqualified or less qualified contractor to perform. And it brings me back to the desktop contracts, because Sears jumped into the arena. Elisa, you remember this. Sears Business Systems bid on and won part of either Desktop 1 or Desktop 2, and their ability to deliver was minimal. And what they were delivering was literally, and we're talking early 90s here, it was last year's technology. They were shipping 286s when 386s were starting to get old. So the my equivalent today is when a mobile computing contract goes out, what's going to preclude somebody from bidding with two cans and a piece of string?
Well, I can say that too. Between the parties of that agreement, not knowing the specifics, but obviously somebody wasn't on the ball. You know, there are processes to handle all of those kinds of concerns. There's technology refreshment clauses to ensure you're getting the latest and greatest. That's what statements of work and requirements are all about. There's past performance that should be inputted and recorded and managed so that you're providing that feedback back to the contractor so that you don't end up in that situation. So there's all of that is preventable, and not sure why it doesn't happen.
Well, we're talking 92 here, so yeah. Tech Refresh was probably a relatively new idea and perhaps born of that mistake.
And sometimes the one party or the other is not as a sophisticated understanding of what it's really asking for or delivering than it should be.
Right, but I mean, my point is that desktops were huge and new back then. Yeah. Greatest, latest, sexy thing. They were not commodities. They were desktop computers. Yeah. So everybody wanted one, but nobody quite knew, or very few people knew, what they quite needed.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and Mark, the survey did in fact show that is a concern on both sides of the house, both with federal employees and government contractors. However, that may be playing into a little bit of that sort of fear, uncertainty, and doubt. It is a fear and a concern that folks have. Mm-hmm. We did ask the question in the survey, how satisfied are you with the deliverables that you're getting under LPTA? And the government respondent said that they're satisfied. I mean, so far, so good. It goes back to our earlier conversation on this. I think time will tell. But right now, they are relatively satisfied with what they're getting.
Yeah, you have to always be careful that you don't have a solution searching for a problem to solve, and that you're overreaching for the latest and greatest technology, but not necessarily what your mission requires. So maybe that's what that survey is indicating.
Yeah, and just like in the early 90s, the Moore principle, every 18 months, the technology refreshed. It seems like it's about every 18 weeks now.
Yeah.
So do we need the latest and greatest? And then we enter into the arena of how secure are all these technical devices? You know, is your refrigerator spying on you? Well, if it's from China, it probably is.
That's why I always keep the door closed.
There you go. When that light goes on, so does the camera. Lisa, you're going to have to jump off on the final segment, so give us some final thoughts here on the study. Number one, let me recommend that people, at bare minimum, go get the white paper. This is really important stuff. This is a very granular report, but you have to buy the whole report to get the granularity.
Yeah, it is a very long and very detailed report. In the full report, there's a lot of slicing and dicing by company size, by defense versus civilian agencies, so you can see the differences in the responses. But it is available for sale on the website. I think it's $995. But the executive summary PowerPoint that's also available on the website is very detailed, so that would certainly be a starting point. I think that I am hopeful in the way I am beginning to see industry adjust to this LPTA procurement world. I think it's not going to be without bumps. I think that, to Michael's point, I think you're going to see the contracting community over the next couple of years settle down and have it be one of many tools in their toolkit to help them deal with the budget constraints that they're under. And I think some of what we're seeing on the industry side is healthy, that they are trimming, perhaps, where trimming needed to be done and realigning how they're approaching these types of procurements.
Okay. Yeah, I would echo that. You know, the government contracting community was rather immune, if you will, to the recession in late 2000s, and it's certainly caught up. We have to balance our budget. I think we may not be balancing it in the most smart way, but with regards to the discretionary budget, this is the reality we're dealing with.
Exactly.
Okay, Lisa, thank you for joining us again. Lisa Dizzuti, CEO of Market Connections. You can find her and the study at marketconnectionsinc.com. Michael and I will be back after these messages. Welcome back to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My remaining guest is Michael Fischetti, Executive Director of the National Contract Management Association. You can find him at ncmahq.org. We've referenced a couple of times Capitol Hill in this, and I hope you got the feeling, those of you listening here, that I'm not particularly fond of them. My latest book, the 2014 Unofficial Voter's Guide, has a preface, but the subtitle of the book is Everything Elected Officials Know About What You Want. And outside of the preface, it's 100 blank pages because I don't think they know very much, if anything. So that being said, and Michael's not here as an endorsement to that, so he's totally divorced from that book. But let's talk about the issues of the contracting community and the interaction with that. So again, give us a scope and tell us a little bit about the event that you had and the ways that contracting officers can actually meet with.
Yeah, that's what NCMA does, along with books and webinars and things like that. We have three major live events like this each year. And this particular one just wrapped up yesterday. It was over 800 folks from government and industry.
Cool.
They heard plenary sessions from everyone from Mr. Assad of the Department of Defense to the CEO from CACI. And plenary and breakout sessions on various topical areas, all tied to the government contract management body of knowledge for contract managers that NCMA promulgates. And I think it's just a great way for people to interact in a neutral way, talking about amongst peers and learning and growing professionally. It's not about negotiating deals. It's about learning and growing together to improve the quality of the folks that are executing these, you know, myriad millions of actions and billions of dollars on the American taxpayers' behalf each year.
Yeah, and we were talking also in between about what I thought was a dead OPM regulation. You told me that it's not. When I started in this market back in the early 80s, there was a mandate from OPM that every federal employee get at least 1 week training in their discipline, regardless of the discipline, on an annual basis. I thought that had gone away because the training has certainly gone away.
No, government contracts folks particularly are required to get their continuous learning hours each year through various means, whether it's the Defense Acquisition University, Federal Acquisition Institute, various educational partners and companies that NCMA promotes and uses. And it's all about growing and learning. And this business is extremely complex, and you're never done growing and learning. And they're under a lot of pressure to do things well. LPTA is the most latest example of concern, but there's many other issues that are that they need to be on top of and work accordingly.
Well, you know, since this is a common theme on this show, since the Clinton era, and Clinton is the only president where the government number-wise actually shrank, but one of the areas they shrank in was that 1102 community.
Yeah.
And I think we've been feeling the repercussions literally ever since.
Yes, we have. I think we streamlined and opened up processes, which was a good thing. But like anything, too much of a good thing can be too far. And so I think what we've seen is an intent as a result of some program concerns that to bring back a little more rigor into the process to ensure that we're really selecting the proper source and that we're monitoring that accordingly. And so I think you've seen a little more involvement with, a little bit edgy, the pendulum swinging back a little more towards center. And I think it's a good thing because REACH requirement stands on its own, and there's no one size fits all. And unlike industry, this is a federal government. Taxpayer dollars have to be processed fairly, so that everyone has an equal shot, and ensuring a variety of socioeconomic concerns are addressed as well.
Right, and I did not mean that as a shot at Mr. Clinton, actually Mr. Gore, because I was a big fan of the Reinventing Government Initiative and all of the work that went into it. I just think that given the time frame that it rolled out and was executed in, I really don't think it was quite enough. I mean, they were working on the premise that, maybe Clinton would be reelected, maybe he wouldn't, so Al had this much time to do it. Yeah. And you were probably in a position to have put input into that back in one of your defense procurement positions.
Yes, and I think, what we've been doing with the Defense Department particularly, but other agencies are attempting to rebuild that workforce, to rebuild that capability to what it should be, which should, a world-class acquisition system deserves a world-class acquisition human capital system, and they are on their way, or were on their way, to doing that. It's been a little difficult in recent times. Many of the initiatives have been sort of stopped as a result of the budget issues going on. So I think there was more to do, and there is more to do. It's a little harder to do that now, given pay freezes. And my concern would be the attrition within the federal workforce in the near term, as people that look at their options, and maybe they're tired of the stress of worrying about when the next furlough is going to hit. And so I would be concerned about attrition on top of a difficulty, if not inability, of federal managers to hire and replace and start growing the new workforce that we definitely will be needing.
Fortunately, there are some local universities in the D.C. area that have procurement-type curricula, which is good. But I'm wondering, is that enough? How much attraction is there for somebody 20 years old to think, wow, I want to grow up to be a procurement officer?
Yeah, none of us were in high school thinking we want to be contracting government managers when we grow up, because it's just one of those fields that, you're not aware of. We call it sometimes the profession of relatives. Your uncle was in it, and you learn about it that way. But it's a very complex field. It's a very rewarding field. We have various activities within NCMA to reach out into universities and try to marry up universities with educational partners as well as with potential employers. Many colleges and universities are starting to embrace the NCMA Contract Management Body of Knowledge as a professional standard. Our goal is to professionalize the workforce so that we have a well-run professional workforce that can be interchangeable within government and various government or industry companies and firms to be able to execute again, so that these are the transactions. These transactions are imperative to the success of the future federal workforce and the future government. I mean, nothing gets done in the government without contracting, and you need good contract managers to ensure that those things are being done well.
How did anecdotal information is good for this one, but after the shutdown, I had a number of questions come to me. Procurement's dried up. Is the funnel going to open again? What was the impact on the contracting officers, and why aren't we getting these new contracts out that we were promised 3 months ago?
It's been fits and starts. In the last fiscal 2013, of course, the RFPs did dry up over the winter months as agencies were trying to determine what their budgets were in execution for the remainder of the year. Once it all became clear, there was a flurry of activity towards the end of the fiscal year. That flurry of activity ended at the conclusion of 2013, and we're now in the fiscal year 14, which began with silence, of course, with the government closed. And so now things are starting to move, albeit a bit very slowly. So government contract managers have a hard job, and there's always been a lot of stuff, and it always builds towards an end of a fiscal year crunch because of the nature of the funding that they obtain, which is only good for 1 year. Now that 1 year funding is only, if it's only being doled out in small increments, and everyone's trying to figure out what's going to happen, so they're trying to keep their options open so that their budget is cut, that they can try to do it to the extent they can in a judicious and smart manner. And so as the government folks, which are towards the trying to be involved in that process and trying to understand the planning aspects, and they really, really are hard. It's hard. And I think it's frustrating for them. It's frustrating for industry, which isn't getting the communication they deserve in order to be able to respond. Industry has to have teams of, they have to have people ready to respond to a government requirement. And you just can't have folks sitting around on their hands waiting for something.
Exactly. And you couple that, the sequestration, reduced budgets, and then the CR, and then the end of FY, quote, spending spree. Well, and then you get those idiots on Capitol Hill once again screaming, they're spending this money all in the last three. Well, that's when they got it, you jerk.
Well, they do. They have to spend the money that's appropriated to them and used for the right processes. All of that is, done through the process of appropriation. It's all budgeted and properly accounted for, so nothing is done in a frivolous manner. But again, getting back to the acquisition, the ability of contract managers to plan, I think they're doing a great job considering the situation we're in.
They are between a rock and a hard place, and they do a wonderful job. They need more training. They need more staffing. So for anybody who actually listens on Capitol Hill, please pay attention to this one. Michael, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you, Mark.
We're going to have to do this again. This is not my day job. If your company needs more visibility in the government contracting arena, whatever niche you are in, we need to talk. There are a number of low-cost and no-cost methods for raising your visibility. To find out more, send me an email at mark@federaldirect.net. And thank you very much for listening to Amtower Off Center.
You've been listening to Amtower Off Center, sponsored by General Dynamics Information Technology. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. Amtower Off Center, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.